The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 178 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. According to the script in front of me, I'm Stephen Mull.
Yeah.
With a U.
We're off to a great start.
Exactly.
On a Monday, producer John, by the way, this is our record.
U is next to I on the keyboard.
Is that where the mistake is?
So, I've just been typing fast.
I'm Stephen Mull.
Right, yeah, okay.
And I'm joined by a man who loves a roll and a pie. It's Raith Rovers' top goal scorer. It's Gordon DL. How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely good to be back. It's nice to have you back.
Thank you to Gabs as well.
Yeah, love Gabs. Great forum, Gabs.
My mum likes Gabs as well.
Well, I love for Gabs. Someone stopped me at the football on Saturday. Said, I really like that Gabs.
Gabs is class.
Right. Do you want the truth?
Yeah, you don't like Gabs, do you?
I love Gabs, right. I've got to say.
But you never used to like Gabs.
No. when he first came on the show, right.
He first joined here.
Yeah. Super Scoreboard. Me and Mark Wilson used to be in a Saturday and he would come on, Gordon, right? And he would, you don't know whether he goes on Gabs. And me and Mark used to, when we were off there, go, what a prick he is, right? I can't stand him. And I've got to say, we ended up going to Euros with Gabs, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best guys I've ever met in my life.
He's honestly
brilliant guy, right?
However, you can never hold a conversation with him because you're never more than around 5 minutes away
his toilet
of him going for a shit.
Oh mate, I have never seen
it. It's unbelievable. He genuinely carries toilet roll. I know we've discussed this before, he carries toilet roll.
Do you know there was times we were going and we had to go and get the tram or something, we were going to do a show or whatever in Germany, and he would just go without me and I'll catch up. And he'd be away at the toilet, and then all of a sudden...
Has he been to the doctors to see about this? Because this is genuinely...
Do you remember a story that he jumped to the car in Germany?
Yeah.
And it wasn't none of David Super Scoreboard.
It was, yeah.
But he was in with other sort of...
Journalists.
And they'd stop the car, he jumped to it, and he'd run somewhere into a cafe or something and told the car just to, on you go, and I'll catch up with you. But he's one in, by the way,
what a life to lead.
He tells the best story and shows the best photo I have ever heard in my life. And I will not spoil it. And I hope one day he comes on here and he tells it. Mate, in Germany, there was a table of about, I think there were about 12, 14 hours there, right? And he's sitting and he holds court and he tells a story about himself, right? And it's something to do with these... Let's just say he's privates, right?
Okay, right, great.
And
there's photo.
There's photo,
I've seen it.
Do you know what I'm talking about, John?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I have seen the photo. Because you tipped me off about this story and I asked him about it and I was like, and he showed me the photo.
I think he would make fortunes telling that story. See, he could stand up in a full hydro house, tell that story and everybody would piss herself laughing. It's magnificent, by the way. And he held court for about 30 minutes and literally everybody was looking at our table because we couldn't eat and all you could hear was the screams of laughter, right? He's one of the nicest guys, and I'll tell you another thing I loved about him. I'm not really good with... these guys can go into their phone and go, right, I need a destination, and you follow the wee blue thing.
Yeah, Google Maps.
Right, that's a bit right. Fucking old. My blue thing goes all over the place, right? And I've tried all that, so I'm not really good at that, right?
Okay, how can you not be good at that? You just follow the fucking line.
No, I know what you're saying, but for some reason, I'm not really good at that.
Okay, I heard your blue thing was going all over the place in Cologne, by the way, Dan.
I was fucking everywhere, right? And I'm walking down, I'm going, I'm not supporting, and then the blue arrow would go, and I'm going, I don't know how to work this shit, right? So Gabs actually says to me, right, here's the rule, simple as this, right? He would take me with the hand through the fucking train stations and everything, right? Tap that, I've got your seat, I'll look after you. And he says to me, if you ever get lost and you can't find us and you can't drop it, he showed me, drop a pin, sit your arse down the seat and I'll come and get you. And I'll tell you another one, right? In Germany, talking about drop a pin, I'm meeting up with Andrew Dallas, right?
Okay.
Andrew, because I know Andrew, he's very, he lives in Motherwell. I had a pint with him
before. The referee?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew and I are very good friends. And he says to me, oh, I think it was it Stuttgart? I'm sure it was Stuttgart. And he says, we'll meet up for a beer. I says, oh, brilliant, brilliant. So I'm walking about and he says, right, there's my destination. So I'm getting about and I'm trying to follow the blue thing, right?
Of course, yeah.
And I look important. I look like I know what I'm doing, right?
Okay.
But I'm only fucking guessing, mate, right? I'm just following an arrow and then it's gone, oh, it's back the way and I'm walking back the way and anyway. So I stopped and eventually I phoned him, right? I says to him, look, I'm struggling with this. I have no idea. I have no idea, mate, right, where I am. I says, I'm all over the place. I says, so you need to come and get me. And he went, right, now remember, this place is mobbed, right? He went, right, okay, do you know how to drop a pin? I went, oh, fucking God, I know how to drop a pin. I'm an expert at dropping a pin, right? True as I'm sitting here, drops a pin, right? He was fucking standing two people away from me. And he just, he went like, he looked at the pin, he turned around and he went, oh, there you are there.
Again, like, your life just needs documented by cameras.
I'm no good with directions.
Right, okay. No, we've spoken about this on the show before, when you remember picking up that random woman at Scotstoun. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. And I'm not good if I've been the night out. Like, say, I remember I went back to my
You after a night, you end up places you shouldn't be, is that what you're
saying? I went into wrong houses.
Right, okay.
Right, I walked in, I live in a flat, and I walked into the people, I'm top floor, right? And I walked in and I sat down the couch and I started taking my shoes off one night. And the people were fucking looking at me. And I just thought...
Were you not thinking, why are these people in my house, for a start?
I thought, I'm the wrong house here, right? So I got up and I went up the stairs. But my best one was, I stayed at my sister's for some reason. And not how you have a few sherbets and you go out and it was a bit late. Now, think about this. My sister's house. Mm. I know my sister's house.
Of course you do, yeah.
Right. So I come home about 2 o'clock in the morning and I goes and I went, oh no, she's locked the door. Right, I can't believe she's locked the door. So I'm banging on the door and this woman comes down.
Who's not your sister, presumably.
Not my sister. And opens the door. And I says to her, where's my sister? She went, what? I went, where's my sister? She went, I don't know who your sister is. And I can hear the guy, obviously the husband. Yeah. This is 2 a.m. He's saying, who is it, Linda? Who is it? She went, I don't know. I don't know, but he's looking for his sister, right? My sister lived 3 doors up.
3 doors up, right, yeah. Okay.
I done it with Jock McStay as well. I tried to walk into Jock McStay's house, walked into somebody else's, walked through by the daughter, who I thought Jock McStay's, it was his daughter, right? Mm. Shout it into the kitchen, I'm meant to rob you.
Cool.
And I was in somebody else's house.
What?
I'm terrible with things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever do things like that? Seriously, with a couple of drinks, ain't you?
I've never walked into someone else's house before. Never. Like, I've got a really, really good homing device. Like, when I was younger, when we were going out, sometimes I would black out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously not a good thing, and I wouldn't recommend drinking that much,
mm-hmm.
So that you black out. But it has happened a few times, and sometimes I'll just wake up in my bed, and I'll be like,
"How did I get here?
How did I get here?"
Yeah,
and that's not happened for many, many years. And again, I shouldn't please never do that. I wouldn't recommend it. But no, I even when I'm on holiday, I've got an excellent homing device.
Terrible, mate.
I've got an excellent homing device. So I remember we were away. Oh, where were we? It was me and the boys were away. So I think it was like Bratislava or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd ended up out. We got split up. And it was me and one of the other guys. And then we got split up. And I was like, right, I need to go home. Like, I just get to the stage where I need to go to my bed. Like, mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
Like that, like bedtime. So I was walking myself to get a taxi and I knew where we were going because I'd written it down on my phone so I could show the taxi driver, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as I was walking to the taxi, three of my mates were walking towards me saying, we don't know how to get home. We got in the taxi and we couldn't tell them. So we just drove around in a circle and came back. And he dropped us back off again. So we got back in the same taxi. And then, like, obviously we all got home, but there was one of us missing. And, you know, at that stage, you know, it's lights out, go to bed. But we left the door ajar. And I woke up in the morning and me and my mate were sharing a room. So he had a bed on that side, I had a bed on this side. And I woke up and I looked across and he was there. I was like, oh, that's good. He's made mm-hmm. it home. And I didn't hear him getting in or anything. And just at that, we were hearing, like, knocking at the door like that. So we went and answered the door and it was my mate who, bear in mind this was now 9:30 in the morning or something like that, had been wandering around the streets of Bratislava in December. It was about -8 outside and he just had a wee jumper on and he was like, let me back in the house. So it can happen. There's always one in the friend group and that's obviously you. John, how's your homing device? Are you good?
I've got a great homing device. I was on a stag do once, right? And I, like you, Stephen, I was like, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. So I jumped on the train, right, in Amsterdam. And I fell asleep on the train, right?
Right, that's what I was going to ask.
Oh my God, I was two stops away from where I was meant to be. So I got out, right, and I was like, fuck, there's no trains here and there's no taxis, what am I going to do? But luckily in the distance, I could see the lights of the Amsterdam Arena. And I knew where hotel was near that, right? So I was like, beeline to the Amsterdam Arena and I'll work it out from there. However, a beeline meant that I was walking down the side of a motorway at 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's dangerous.
And then my wife, she was brought up in Holland, and I told her this story. She's like, you're a fucking idiot, right? But then I said, oh, I went to this estate as well. She goes, that is the roughest estate in the whole of Holland. And you've just stoated through that, just trying to get to the Amsterdam Arena. Got my way home though.
See, to be fair, John, see, looking at you, and I was in that state, I'd be thinking, that's not even worth fucking rolling.
Nah, it's not. there's nothing worse.
I maybe stick a couple of quid in his pocket. Your missus brought up in Holland?
Yeah. She was brought up, she was born in Edinburgh.
You've got a cosmopolitan international family. Your wife's brought up in Holland.
Son's English.
Your son's English, you know, like, you know, you're brought up in Falkirk, which is obviously the one.
That I would have went with John, right? Falling asleep in transport.
Oh, I've done that. Like, end up in Alloa all the time. Honestly.
You've got that. You've got that.
End up in Alloa all the time.
If anyone's got any stories, by the way, about falling asleep on public transport, yeah. Like, I think everyone's got a mate, or if it's you yourself, leave your comments in the YouTube.
By the way, on Friday, I was such a good Samaritan. There was a train, I was getting the train from Glasgow back to Falkirk, and this guy had obviously got from Edinburgh, end up in Glasgow and like had fallen asleep and was just sleeping. I was like, ah, mate, you're in Glasgow, right? Tried 100 times and he just like smiled at me. And then just as the train was about to pull off back towards Edinburgh, he decided to then open the doors and he was fucked and he got stuck in the train. I was like, tried it.
Oh no.
That gets back just quickly without everything opening all wounds. Back to the German, we were doing the show in Germany, Scotland's first game. Right, against Germany, we were in the fan zone. And do you know how you're standing above where we were standing above, we could see the supporters. And there was one supporter, right, and we'd been talking to him prior to the game. He travelled fucking like for Australia or something, right? The furthest, and I'm thinking, mate, why? Just to be a part of it. He says, I can't get tickets. I want to be a part of it. He's got the kilt on, he's got everything on, right? As the teams are coming out, I looked down and nudges Gordon and Mark and went, this guy is now sleeping, right? He's now sleeping. So I'm starting to panic for the boy. So I'm shouting, trying to shout down when we go to the ad breaks. Wake him up! Wake him up! Right? I swear, he never seen one kick in the ball.
He just slept entire way.
He slept the full game. All the way for there to go. I want to feel a part of it.
I mean,
Scotland's opening game against the hosts.
He was probably jet lagged, to be fair to him.
That would
have played a part.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure there was nothing else. Right, let's get to your comments for last week. BKRFC 1972, crispy buttered roll with a steak pie is class. And a go-to for something different. So there you are. You were obviously chatting lots about pies and rolls last week.
Yeah, the hangover cure.
It's Caffer says, chicken chasney pie is the best, and us bus drivers do get tips occasionally.
No, I'm not buying that. I don't think there's any bus driver. No, hold on. Public bus driver or bus driver, coach driver.
That's different.
Take somebody to Blackpool.
Yeah, that's different. You'd turn a wee whip around for the driver.
There you go.
Yeah.
But you're not getting off the 56 going to Shots saying to the boy, there's two or three quid.
No,
mate.
You wouldn't. See if I don't think.
By the way, I don't know if 56 goes to Shots, just in case.
Just in case. Yes, you do. You've got business in Shots. See if you're in a bar, and it doesn't happen nowadays, but if you said to the person working behind the bar, get one for yourself, what do you think that means? Or one for yourself? One for yourself.
Whatever their tipple is.
Thank you, right?
What do you think it is?
So we were discussing this, Gary and I, during the week, we're on 206. And one for yourself. We were talking about how basically people don't do that now because drink is so expensive. So, you would end up spending a fortune. John, what about you? If you said one for yourself to the barman or the barmaid, what would you say?
I'd assume it was a pint.
So we started discussing this and there was loads of folk going, nah, I worked in a pub for years. That meant a pound.
Not at all.
And I was like, really? No, wait there now. I was like, one for yourself clearly means get yourself a drink.
Aye.
And you would mark it down at the end of the night.
And get a beer out there and dinner.
And charge them, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but apparently one for yourself at one stage, at one time in life, meant there's a pound for yourself. And you would take a pound at the till and put it, and that would be a tip.
Oh,
but I had no idea. When was the last time you said get one for yourself? Years ago, eh?
Yeah, can't even remember that.
Because I remember it used to be quite a common, just get one for yourself.
Aye.
Because obviously drink was cheap.
Yeah.
But now it's expensive, so you don't do that.
Do you know, I'd done a couple of shifts in a bar.
Did you?
Yeah, I poured a good pint. Right. I was a friend of mine that ran the pub. I actually live quite near it now. And occasionally, if he was busy, he'd get caught with people. A lot of people coming.
You jump behind the bar.
I jump behind the bar, right? And know the biggest mistakes people make, right?
Right.
I'm going to oust people here. See if they go, it's a free bar, and they come up, and you're serving, and they'll go four. No, they're greedy, right? Four double vodka, like John. Four double vodka, four pints, and all that, you know. And you would mark it down. You would always mark down maybe three or four for yourself later on.
Is that what you would
do? Yeah, because nobody's questioning that bill at the end of the night.
No, exactly.
Right, you're walking up and saying, what's the bill? £1,000. There you go. You're not going, give me a cut. You're half pissed anyway. You're not going to start and going, right, who had 18 vodkas? Right. It doesn't happen, does it?
Okay.
So
tricks of the trade.
Tricks of the bar trade
with Gordon DL. Gary Lenny, pie roll and Scotch pie with brown sauce and tomato sauce.
Nah, barred.
Yeah,
you're
blocked. Richard Hamilton, Scotch pie, brown sauce, butter on a soft roll is the way to eat it. Gillian says, Dazzler, have you tried Betty's Pie Shop in Westmere Street at Parkhead? I swear it must be 100 years old, so I'd imagine their highest quality pie since it's open. You can get a greasy roll on pie. Try it for yourself. So that's
Betty's
Pie Shop, Westmere Street at Parkhead in Glasgow.
Right, okay.
Make a wee note of that. On the barbers, my barber charges 35 and I give him 50. That's Brahma Gaming HD.
Fuck off. Not a chance. 15 quid a tip. 15 quid a tip.
If I was getting a haircut that was £35, I'd probably give them a fiver. I'd round up to 40.
But what much is your haircut? My haircut's $15. I will now cut my own hair if it goes any dearer than 15.
I would pay like about 30 for a haircut.
Right. Do you remember the days they don't do this? You're talking about. Remember the days you used to go in for a haircut and they'd wash it first?
Yeah.
Don't do that now.
No, they charge you more for that.
I go to different barbers, right? I go to a barber's.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so they are.
Where they.
But it's a nice barber.
Where they stick things up your nose and your eyebrows and not. Okay. And light your ears on fire.
Yes.
Right, fucking.
You're at that age though. You're at that age where hair is reducing on your head and then coming out everywhere else.
Boons and burner coming. Right, close your eyes there, sir.
When was the last time you said the words boons and burner, by the way? 60 years ago. Right, This week in football, plenty happened. Big game on Monday night at Tynecastle, Hearts defeating Rangers, coming back for a goal down to win by 2-1. How good was Lauren Shanklin's finish, by the way?
Magnificent, wasn't it?
Brilliant.
Magnificent.
See stuff like that, I think it just reinforces that Lauren Shanklin should be starting that opening game against Haiti at the World Cup. Yes or no?
For me, yes. For
Do you
Steve,
think he will?
No, I don't think Steve Clarke will go down that road.
Why not? Listen, you've been a manager, you've been a player, striker as well. Explain to people why Steve Clarke won't do that.
Because I think he thinks that Adams is a better choice. I think because of the, you know, different way Adams can go in behind and chase and work, and he's playing at a top level.
But if Shanklin had someone like an Adams playing alongside him,
yeah, but then you've got to change your formation, right? So he's not going to tweak his formation to suit Lauren Shanklin. What he'll do is he'll keep his formation and put the people that he thinks fits into that formation. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. You know, if he decides to go long, more likely Lyndon Dykes comes in, didn't
or
he?
Hurst, yeah.
Or Hurst, you know, something like that. So it's all in for me. For me, I think for Scotland to go and put Shanklin in, you've got to play with a sort of a, like what Hearts do, like a Braga type thing with him, or somebody just...
He's Portuguese though, can I call him up?
No, exactly. But yeah, what I'm saying is that sort of a partnership type where somebody will go and do, like say Braga, go and do all the work and run in behind and do what I have. Shanklin's a clever player. Shanklin's a very knowledgeable.
So basically,
footballer.
You could have Adams do that for him, basically. However, that would mean sacrifices.
Try somebody in the middle of the park.
Which he's not going to do.
Which he's not going to do.
Because that's the strongest area of the team.
That's the strongest. So that will be Steve Clarke's argument to that. But I don't agree with you. The boy is a natural goal scorer. And you're right. That finish was absolutely brilliant.
I know we'll get on to it when we speak about the game. But is it not proving to be one of the most stupid decisions that Rangers have ever made? Not signing Lauren Shanklin on a free. Yeah. And not only that, they compounded it by getting rid of Dessers as well, or selling Dessers.
Mm-hmm. I said for day one, I couldn't understand the Dessers thing, right?
However, they could have got Lauren Shanklin for free.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, it wouldn't have cost them 30 grand a week.
Of course it wouldn't have.
Shanklin would have probably went there for, what, 20 grand? 15, 20 grand?
Why are Rangers and Celtic, because I'm going to mention John McGinn obviously here as well, why are they so reluctant?
Because I think there's a wee snobby element to them, isn't there? I think they prefer to go out and get these £5 million fucking foreign players.
Balakwisha,
Tuneke, all these sort of a guys. You look at, there's a perfect example, and that says to the guys yesterday. Rangers and Celtic in January transfer brought in, they got to say, nearly 10 players, right? And the January transfer to change the full league to go and kick on and win the league. How many were playing yesterday? Celtic were none. He's banned them all. He's put them all out. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Celtic, none. Rangers had two.
Robbins and someone else.
Chukwani?
Yeah, Chukwani, yeah.
Yeah, so the Rangers had two. So out of about 10 between the two big teams, this is what I'm saying. So
you think it's snobbery, or do you think it's...
I think it is because... Or it's lack of intelligence and ability to do your job, because you're looking at Shanklin, who is a proven goal scorer in this league, and you've got an opportunity to... And the boy would have walked to Rangers.
Of course he would have.
He's a big Rangers guy, we all know that. And the first thing Derek McInnes comes in and does is go, make sure Shanklin stays here, right? Look at the rewards. Of course, they let a guy go that scored 50 goals in two seasons. And they've replaced him, and what have they got? £8 million player, and I thought the boy worked very hard yesterday. Never going to score the amount of goals that Shanklin or Dessers would score. Never in a million years.
There's also, this leads on to, you know, Hearts, when I was looking at the team on Saturday night, I think they had 6 Scottish players starting. Mm-hmm. I think they had 4 when they played against Rangers on Monday. Rangers had 0. Mm-hmm. Connor Barnes started yesterday for Rangers. I do think that both Celtic and Rangers, I know McGregor's been there for years, Tierney's been there for years, albeit with a gap in the middle, a couple of other boys as well. they need to be buying Scottish players. They need to be bringing through their own Scottish players as well, surely.
Yeah, I think that's...
There's Finlay Curtis scoring a couple of goals for Kilmarnock at the weekend. Yeah. You're not telling me he wouldn't have been more effective than Antman yesterday?
Listen, I think, and I've got a bad hip, I would have been more effective than him.
Yeah.
Right, I think they just left him there to warm up.
Anyway, right, we'll get to that in a wee second because we need a couple of other things to get through. Marvin Bartley, resigned Livingston manager. He's on Super Scoreboard tomorrow night, John.
Guess who with?
You?
Yes.
So there you are. Marvin Bartley on the show tomorrow night. I'm sure he'll be asked about that. Gary Naismith appointed as Ayr United manager, but not before Stenhouse Muir are finished with the playoffs. They got through against Queen of the South on penalties, I should say, at the weekend. Elgin manager Alan Hale has been suspended, and Hamilton Academical are expecting a winding up petition lodged by HMRC in relation to a legacy debt to be withdrawn. However, there's more stuff going on there. This is the thing, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I know that other teams in the league were not particularly pleased, like East Fife and Cove, because they were the ones who were battling out mm-hmm. for the relegation playoffs. This will now be the third season where Hamilton go into the league campaign with some sort of deduction or some sort of punishment. Like, it seems to be they just could... Now, I know the new owners have probably come in and thought, oh my God, and they'll be finding stuff all over the place. But this is now three seasons in a row, it will be, that Hamilton have effectively broken the rules. And apart from points deductions, then, they're just consistently breaking rules.
I really feel for our supporters, right?
Absolutely.
I feel for the players, feel for everybody. Have a look at that, right, the scenario, only in Scottish football, they've got Clyde, right? So Hamilton play Clyde at Clyde, which is Hamilton's home ground. Clyde then go and play Hamilton at Hamilton, which is where Clyde play. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's absolutely... See if you actually told somebody that. Oh, Hamilton Accies are going to play Clyde, but their first leg, they're away from home. See, they're away from home, they're playing at Clyde, but that's really Hamilton Accies' home ground. And then Clyde are going to play Hamilton in the next game. But that's really Clyde's home game.
It's ludicrous, isn't it?
It's incredible. Only in Scotland.
So there you are. Scottish football. Right, let's get to the title race then, and let's start on Saturday night. It was Motherwell 1, Hearts 1. I actually thought it was a cracking game of football, particularly first half. I thought Motherwell were well on top in the first half. Hearts were pretty shaky. Shanklin has to score. We've just been praising him, but he has to score. Open goal, and fair enough, an amazing block from O'Donnell, but Shanklin has to be scored in that. Motherwell do get their opening goal. They were putting on a bit of pressure. I think we've ran out of ways to say how well Motherwell have played this season, but some of their football was absolutely outstanding. Even before they got their first goal, even before Shanklin had his chance, there was a move right out for the back. And I think it was a great save for Shwolov and goal. Like, I really liked the way Motherwell played. However, second half, I thought Hearts were well on top.
100%.
We will get to the penalty decisions.
Yeah, okay.
In just a wee bit. But I thought Hearts looked like a team with a bit between their teeth, and I thought they were unlucky not to come away with 3 points.
Right. I left this studio on Saturday at 5 to 6 with a parting shot saying, Hearts will not go down the M8 tonight after Motherwell game with all 3 points. I went draw. I thought it was a stick-on draw. Right, because see if you look at previous games,
they were tight.
Oh, very much so. And Motherwell really, especially at Tynecastle, 3-0 up, all credit to Hearts, 3-3. Then 1-0 up, Maswanisi misses an absolute sitter of a chance to really bury the game. Hearts come back, get the penalty kick with Shanklin, end up going on and win at 3-1. 0-0 at Fir Park on the first meeting. It was always got to be tight. It was all, by the way, I've got to say, and credit to Hearts and Motherwell supporters, what an atmosphere.
Biggest crowd at Fir Park since 2005 or something. Yeah. Is it something like that? Or 2006?
It was a helicopter Sunday or something. Yeah. That was incredible, and all credit to both sides, because the Motherwell fans are loving what they're seeing and the Hearts fans are just praying that they can go over a line. So it makes such a difference.
I know we'll get to VAR WTF, but I think we do need to speak about it now. How, when Stephen McLean goes across to look at that VAR screen, has he not looked at that and gone, that's a penalty? How?
In my opinion, I have no idea, right? But here's where I'm going to sort of...
That's a huge, huge call, because I think the VAR, as Derek McKinnon said after the game, have done their job correctly. They've asked them for an on-field review, and then he's gone across. How can he not give a penalty?
Right.
That could cost Hearts the league.
Do you know what I... Before we go any further, my opinion, it's a penalty kick.
Yeah.
Right. So let's just put that out there. I'm saying penalty kick. I'm looking at, as you say, why? Right? Reason, VAR is correct to say him, go and have a look. Right? I am fed up with VAR re-refereeing games. Right? So he goes over there and he does have a look. And he, in his own mind, he decides to say, no, I've seen that and I've seen it the way I'm seeing it now and I'm happy with my decision. So I'm going to stick to my decision. Now, we all think it's wrong decision, right? But I like that in the fact of, for once, a referee's went over there and says, no, hold on a minute. I'm not letting VAR referee this game for me. I'm refereeing the game. I'm thank you for taking over, right? Where I think the problem is a penalty kick, right? He makes the most of it, and I think he doesn't do himself any favours.
That's an irrelevant.
I know that, but I'm only trying to think, what is the referee...
If Stephen McLean's decided on that, that's even more mental.
Right, but what I'm trying to think is, why has he decided, our top-class referee, who referees big, big games, who's seen it firsthand, who's had the opportunity to go over and watch it 3, 4, 5 times, whatever he wants, and stuck by his decision, where I think 90-odd% of the public would say, that's a stonewall penalty.
So I agree with what you're saying in terms of like not re-refereeing the games, and it's good to see referees standing up. Why does he not do that all the time then?
I don't know.
Why on this one occasion has Stephen McLean decided to take a stand correctly? Like in terms of like, you know, I've seen it with my own eyes, like I'll make the decisions. That'd be fine if he did that all the time, but he doesn't.
Right.
So why has he done it now?
I can't answer why he's done it now, but I'll tell you what. If you sit down with Steve McLean and you turn around and say, right, okay, why did you say, after seeing it twice, why are you saying that's not a penalty kick?
Derek McKinnon said after the game that he was told that there was contact, but not enough to bring him down, which is insane.
Right.
That is insane.
Right, okay. So that's the referee's opinion of that. That's his opinion. So,
when I was watching it, I was just thinking, if that had happened in the game yesterday at Celtic Park, Super Scoreboard would have
blown up
for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
Because it was such a shocking decision.
Mm-hmm.
Such a shocking decision. A terrible decision by Stephen McLean that could cost Hearts the title.
Only Stephen McLean can tell you why he didn't give that penalty kick. Right,
it's a staggering call to me.
What we do is we have an opinion, and we can agree or disagree, and everything an opinion. You have an opinion, so the referee's got an opinion, and unfortunately for Hearts, doesn't matter what we shout, his opinion counted.
Of course, absolutely.
Right? So
as soon as we're going across the screen, we were like,
oh, penalty kick.
It's going to be a penalty.
Even when I seen it, I thought it was a penalty kick. I'm thinking, why are they even sending it on the screen? That's a stonewall penalty kick.
And like, I'm loath to even mention Chris Sutton, but you know, in commentary when he was like, oh, you know, he's made the most of it, and then Masrinisi a wee bit after. You know,
Masrinisi is never a penalty.
It's never a penalty in my own year, and Sutton was giving it. Oh, it's similar to the Hearts one. Like, you're at it.
Yeah.
I just think that to not give that decision, which was a penalty to Hearts, is staggering, and it plays into how bad the refereeing standards have been this season. They've been so bad. I don't think there's any conspiracy. I don't think there's anything like that. I do think though, that's a shocking decision, and it could come back to haunt Hearts. Hearts could lose the title because of that.
One decision over a course of the season?
At this stage, yeah, absolutely.
I know
you can look back, oh, well, they shouldn't have dropped points against Livingston and blah, 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 blah. But we are where we are.
But right now, What you've got,
Hearts score that they win 2-1 and they're up the road with 3 points. And
no, hold on a minute. You can't say that. You can't say that because you don't
chances
know.
Are
you, right? Chances are you, so you can't guarantee Hearts are going to score.
I can't guarantee that, but right. It increases the chances. It does.
It does, right? But what I will say is, it's not as much as we all agree at penalty kick, and would I fancy Shanklin to score it? Probably would have.
Yeah.
Right. But can't guarantee.
I know there's
that.
Variables after right? that. Of course,
right.
There are.
Okay, but. Just now, it's still in the hands of Hearts to go and win the league.
It is.
Right.
However, it's much more difficult now. It's much more difficult. And I think Neil Lennon called it right yesterday after the game. Celtic are favourites to win this title because they went and they blew Rangers away in the second half yesterday. Obviously, Maeda's goal will grab all the headlines, and rightly so. It was an absolutely phenomenal goal. I was watching it with my mate. And it took so long, it sort of looped and took so long to get in that I said to my mate, that's in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had time to say that and it still hadn't gone in yet. A staggering piece of skill by Maeda, who I thought was excellent yesterday. I actually thought Rangers got a grip of the game in the first half pretty well. And then, again, I said to my mate, I was like, Celtic will tweak something at half time, they'll make a change. Obviously, Luke McCown had a nightmare, I know, nice pass through for the for the goal and stuff, but generally, nightmare. They bring on Tonechte, tweak a couple of things, and Danny Rowell, I think he shouldn't be the Rangers manager at the end of the season.
Okay, it'll be interesting to see. I thought yesterday was massive for him because it was still, if he goes and beats Celtic, he buys a bit of goodwill, plus the fact he's still got an opportunity to finish second. And if he'd have finished second, then I think he'd have been safe because the reports are that the owners quite like him, right? I think they would have backed him and moved forward. You get into the split, you've got the league in your own hands. He's had the, you would probably say, strongest transfer window out of everybody, right? You say there, like, and we were discussing this, Celtic tweaked something. All they'd done was change personnel. They didn't change tactics, they didn't change formation, they didn't change really a lot that Danny Rowell probably get caught out. They didn't go to a diamond. They didn't go to a back three. They didn't go to right.
However, it was clear, Gordon, that Celtic were well on top and Rangers needed to change something. And Danny Rowe, yet again, just like the game on Monday, waited far too long to make changes. And then, you know,
The
game's away and he's making three changes. What's the point?
Yeah, he's coming.
What's the point?
He's coming in for a bit of criticism with that. I said yesterday and I got in a wee ding-dong. Everybody talks about Martin O'Neill and how he's changed, and Martin O'Neill's the guy that's got Celtic to where they are. And of course, Martin O'Neill's brilliant and everything about him. I think you've got to give a lot of credit to the players as well. As much as Martin can get in there and lift you and do this and do that, when you go over the white line, you've got to do it as players. You've got to do it as a team. You've got to grind. You've got to do whatever it takes, right? No matter how many people are telling you it's the worst Celtic team you've seen in years and years and years, Martin O'Neill's a massive part of that, right? I think the Rangers players got away with it just now because they've done it with Russell Martin, right? They hid behind Russell Martin. Russell Martin took all the flak. They're now doing it with Danny Rowell, right? I look at that Rangers team. Tell me the last time they strung 60 minutes in a game. I don't buy this 90 minutes. I don't think there's a team going about can dominate a game for 90 minutes, right? You'll fall off it or the other team will get a wee bit of possession, whatever it may be. It's very rarely you see a team, especially in Scotland now, dominating for 90 minutes, right? It doesn't really happen. But they just seem to fall apart, whether it's they start well.
He keeps getting his back up when people question the mentality of the players. But is it a mentality thing, or is it a quality thing, or is it both?
I think it's both.
Because I cannot for the life of me. I know John Souter is not Franco Baresi. You're not telling me he would strengthen that Rangers centre defence because both of them yesterday, Fernandes and Giga, were honking. £20 million for Fernandes. Are we kidding? Are we kidding on?
A lot of people say that.
James Tavernier had a nightmare as well, by the way.
Well, so. I'm a Tavernier fan. But
I think he comes in with a lot of unfair criticism. He had a shocker yesterday. That can happen. I don't think Robbins had a particularly good game either. I don't think Diamandé had a particularly
midfield
good...
Midfield three were non-existent for Rangers.
Wow. Non-existent. Wow. I think Chermiti caused some problems in the first half. Worked his socks off.
Yeah.
I thought Mikey Moore has got something about him.
100%.
I actually thought Conor Barron did okay. Antman, Jesus Christ. I mean, there's so many players in that Rangers team. They are awful. They're awful. And This is okay.
So tell me in your words, describe what in sense of awful, right? They're not good enough.
They're not good enough.
Right. So this is my argument and what I was trying to say yesterday to the boys. They believe that Martin O'Neill will make them such a better team and a better players, mm-hmm. right? Because he's achieving it with Celtic.
Yeah.
Right. But I think the players at Celtic have got a better, stronger mentality than what Rangers players have got.
I'd agree with that.
Right? I'm talking about, you know, Martin O'Neill can come in there and he's get back to his back four after Nancy, with his back three and everything, it never worked. He's structured them, he's got them playing, he's got them grinding. But I keep going saying that, right, Martin O'Neill's brilliant. He's a guy that holds it all together and takes it on. But he can't go on the pitch and do it, so he's got to get his players to do it for him.
I don't think that.
I think they've got the ability to do that.
Yeah.
My worry is with Rangers is I don't know if the players have got the ability to put everything together, mental strength, character, you know, desire, everything about it.
I mean, Rangers, when it comes down to it, right, it's all very well beating smaller teams like Falkirk 6-3 and teams like that. Right, and then Rangers were coming into the split having won 3, 4, 5, whatever it was in a row, and we've seen this over the years with this Rangers team, not necessarily the specific one, but Rangers in general, apart for the Steven Gerrard year, but when it comes to the crunch, when it comes to the games they need to win, they don't. They just don't. Whether it's big games against Celtic that they actually need to win. I know that Michael Beale like beat Celtic a couple of times. Philip Clement beat Celtic a couple of times. But in big matches...
Danny Rowe.
In big matches that actually matter, nah. They've lost three in a row since the split.
Mm-hmm.
First time Rangers have lost three league games in a row since 2000 or 2001 or something like that. So when the actual crunch is on, these Rangers players have been found wanting. But I don't think they've been helped by Danny Rowe because I don't think he's very good either. Like, I think that when the Celtic players looked across to the side of the pitch and saw Martin O'Neill, for example, when Rangers scored, the camera cut to Martin O'Neill and he's like, calm down. And you could see him talking to his players. Now, obviously, I don't know what Danny Rowe's saying, but I was just thinking, well, that makes a difference when you can look to the side and you've got a manager who you're like, right, okay, that's what he's telling us to do. Chill out a wee bit. Still plenty of time to go. We'll get back in the game. And I just don't...
That's just fast experience, mate.
Of course it is. But, I mean, I just think that I cannot see... Danny Rowe cannot survive this. He can't survive this. The whole stadium was singing his name yesterday.
Forget that. Come on. I hate that.
But,
because Celtic fans sing his name...
No.
The Rangers board are sitting going, oh, hold on a minute here.
I'm saying. But that's where they are now. Yeah. It's laughable.
Yeah, right. If it was me, I'd make a change, right? I wouldn't trust them in the summer.
Exactly, because they're going to have money to spend in the summer. Rangers are, you know, behind the scenes, it looks like they're pretty well run and all the rest of it, well, from what we can see. So they're going to have money to spend in the summer. You're not trusting Danny Rowe to go out and, you know, spend £40 million on players.
You've just said they're pretty well run. Well, the decisions they're making...
Sorry, I meant from a business perspective. Right.
Decisions they're making, obviously, Russell Martin, and if they sack Danny Rowe, so that's two managers in 1 year. So it shows you that there's some decisions getting made in there that's probably not right.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Sorry,
right. But the flip side of this, and there'll be people out there listening to this podcast thinking, hold on a minute, Rangers supporters, when does it stop? When do you stop sacking managers for Rangers?
When you get a good one.
So you just keep going and spending money after money after money and bad results come. Now, I remember sitting in this show not that long ago and Rangers hit the top of the league. Okay, Hearts had the game the following day, right, which they won and reclaimed top spot. But we were inundated with phone calls about how good this manager was, how Rangers were going to charge on now and go and win the title. So all the supporters were behind him, right?
But then Rangers happened. And then when the crunch games happen...
Totally agree.
They're found wanting.
Totally agree. My warning signs, and they still won games. And I remember watching them at Fir Park. I went to the game, Motherwell Rangers, and Rangers scored early on. Raskin scored early on. And Motherwell absolutely dominated life out of them, right? They then went down to 10 men, Motherwell. And he brings on an extra defender to try and hold on to a 1-0 lead. And Motherwell schooled them and scored.
That's when Welsh scored, yeah.
Well, yeah, last 5 minutes or whatever it was, right? And I thought to myself, oof, that's a wee warning sign. But nobody really bothered about it. And then everything went on and everybody's talking about, you know, he's changed it. The one thing I don't buy with him, and I hate this, look where we were when he came in.
They were 13 points behind Hearts. Right. They're now 10 points behind Hearts, right, or whatever it is.
But even forget that. Even before the weekend, people were saying, look where we were. Look where they were a month ago. They were top of the league. Look where they were when they went into the split. They had the league in their own hands if they went and won the games. They could win the league. They didn't need favours for MDLs. They could have went and won the league. They were in two trophies with this guy. And they've come up empty-handed. So I think big question marks have got to be asked of him. Me personally, if I was sitting in there and they asked me, right, going round the table, what's your decision, yeah or nay, I would say, no, I think we need to make the change. I've got a funny feeling, just what I've heard, one or two wee whispers inside the corridors, that they quite like this guy and I think they're prepared to stick it out with him.
Well, there we go. Celtic.
Could be wrong.
Are Celtic favourites for the title?
I said that from day one, I went with Celtic, right? And I've stuck with Celtic only because of one thing. They kept me in the race, right? That was it. I didn't have a lot of confidence in them. I thought that, I said on Saturday, Sunday, Hearts opened the door for Celtic. Celtic marched right through it yesterday. For me, Celtic will win the league because I think Celtic, as much as I know Motherwell will be a real difference, I think Celtic will go and win at Motherwell.
Celtic's, you know, under Martin O'Neill, that's Fir Park where Celtic titles go to die, obviously.
Yeah.
You think that they'll, because I think Hearts will beat Falkirk on Wednesday.
So do I.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think comfortably, right? I know. Falkirk
are on the beach.
That's a bit unfair because Falkirk pumped Motherwell, and everybody tells us how great Motherwell are.
But they're 5 points behind Hibs. They're not going to overtake Hibs now.
No.
We had two key injuries there at the weekend as well. Both our fullbacks went off injured, so I don't think they'll be available for Wednesday.
God, that'll be a nightmare for the cup final. Oh no, you've got to be in the semi-final, didn't you?
Can we just talk as well about a mental moment that happened on Super Scoreboard yesterday, Daz? I think you know what we're going to talk about. Doogie Arnott, Motherwell legend.
Yes, mate. I heard this.
Called in the show wanting Celtic to beat Motherwell on Wednesday.
He's a Celtic fan.
I couldn't believe that.
I'm like, he scored, was it? They used to call him the hammer of the old firm because he always used to score against Rangers or Celtic.
24 goals.
12 against Celtic, 12
That's
against Rangers.
I was listening to this yesterday. When I was making my tea.
See the minute I looked at the screen and he went, I'm an ex-footballer. I knew right away who it was. Right. I says to him, are you a wee guy? And he went, depends on what you're talking about. what a player Doogie Arnott was. Mate, Doogie Arnott, centre, what a player he was for Motherwell. I didn't know he was a big Celtic fan.
Oh, there you go. You think he'll be happy on Wednesday night then, because you think Celtic will win?
I think Celtic will get the job done at Motherwell. I think it will be difficult, but see, under the circumstances and just the way they're going about their business and everything about them, I think they will. I do think Hearts will get the job done against Falkirk. I don't think it'll be easy, right?
So then we've got a situation next Saturday lunchtime Celtic versus Hearts. Hearts need a draw for the title.
Yeah, I think Celtic will win it.
I mean, it's going to be one of these things, right, where I think Hearts haven't done a lot wrong. I don't think. Particularly since the split. If somebody had said to Derek McInnes, your first three games after the split, 7 points, he'd have snapped your arm off for it, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll beat Falkirk on Wednesday. Yeah. So all of a sudden, you've got, from your first four games out of the split, you've got 10 points, mm-hmm. and you still might not win the league.
I know. It's incredible, isn't it?
I would feel heart sorry for Hearts.
Look, what is it?
However, what I would say, Gordon, right? And I know it's different, but this was under Rodgers, I think. Hearts went to Parkhead and won
mm-hmm.
at the start of the season.
Well, I'm just about to say that I will not sit here next week. I think the games are early.
Half 12, yeah.
I won't sit here after a game, and if Hearts go to Celtic Park and either need a point or they get the point or they win, I will not be sitting here going, oh my God, that's unbelievable, right? I wouldn't put it by Hearts. I think the Missy Halkett is...
That's a bad one.
I don't know, right, okay. I think that's a big, big blow for Hearts. But Hearts have got it in them just because of the way the season has been.
But, by the way, if it goes how we think it's going to go, right, which mm-hmm. is Celtic winning on Wednesday, Hearts winning on Wednesday, so it's a showdown.
Showdown, which we want.
Exactly, which would be amazing. What an achievement it would be. Even more of an achievement than it already is. Hearts going to Parkhead and getting the point that they need to win the league.
See, if that happens, we talk about legends. Derek McInnes must be the biggest legend in Hearts history. There should be a statue outside him. If he can go to Celtic Park, he needs to either get a draw or a win, and he achieves that. That is magnificent for him.
So Celtic have
and these players.
Celtic have won, you know, unbeaten leagues. They've won quadruples, quadruple mm-hmm. trebles and all the rest of it. But Celtic have won the last five matches in a row in the league. If they win Wednesday, Saturday, they'll have won their last, what, seven matches in the league. If Derek McInnes is getting a statue outside the Tynecastle, what are they doing for Martin O'Neill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Martin O'Neill's...
I think regardless of what happens...
By the way, he could win the double.
And, well, I wouldn't
he
go
probably
that far.
Will.
I wouldn't go that
far. If he wins the league, he's got a fucking double in the bag. Two statues.
But that's what I mean. In terms of Celtic, and I saw a couple of headlines, like, oh, fairy tale for Celtic. Celtic still have a lot more money than Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
They went out and spent in the summer, and they brought five or six players in, whatever it was, in January. I know they were loan players and they've turned out to be shite. However, they've still got a lot more money than everyone else.
Yeah.
So I'm not buying into this fairy tale shite. But what I would say is Martin O'Neill has just somehow got them winning. And now they're actually playing all
right.
Yeah,
they look a bit sharper.
I wasn't impressed against Hibs, though, the previous week. I didn't think they were great. However, yesterday, they were really sharp. Maeda looked like the old Maeda that won the Player of the Year last season. If they've won the last seven games of the season and won the league, Martin O'Neill will be carried out of there as a god.
Yeah, because...
And that's what that was my point, sorry. I lost my trail of thought. They've won all these sort of unbeaten leagues and trebles and all the rest of it. Where would this rank, though, this league title?
Me, personally, top. Absolutely top. Because I think even the Celtic fans had probably given up in this championship, right? They'd given it up. There were turmoil all over Celtic with the supporters and the board and the managers when Wilfred Nancy came in. And oh my God, the place was an absolute shambles. Absolutely. The recruitment in in January has been ridiculous. And he still dragged them into winning a championship here.
You know, I think that last season of this podcast, we were getting a lot of stick because Celtic were on course to win another treble. Obviously, Aberdeen, you know, put a spanner in the works in the Scottish Cup final. However, Celtic romped the league and we were kind of saying, like, it's a bit boring. Mm. And it must be boring for Celtic fans. And Celtic fans were like, no, we will never get bored no matter what the title is, blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you right now, Celtic fans, this title is more exciting than anything you have done in the last decade.
100%.
If you win the title.
100%. 100%. It'll be the best one. I can't remember.
By the way, if you disagree with that, then please let us know. But I think that this will mean so much more than any of your other ones.
Right, but I've got to say...
And it'll be five in a row, obviously, as well.
I am... You know, guys like yourself that work with me know I'm not a Rangers Celtic man. I was very fortunate in my life that I got the opportunity to play with Rangers, and I played in cup finals with them, and I played against Celtic and after stuff like that. But I'm not a cheerleader for anybody, right? If I was just for a fairy tale, I would love
fairy tale.
I'd love to see Hearts win the league.
Oh, that's a fairy tale. I'll
I would
give you that.
Love
yeah,
to yeah. Just for the freshness of Scottish football, right? I know that's millions of Celtic fans will disagree. Oh, you're this and that, or whatever, right? It's not. I just feel that it would bring such an excitement to our game. And I think see, because of what they've been through and everything.
Yeah. See, I will talk a couple of relegations, Admin, Romanov, and all the rest of it as well. Yeah. I think, I totally, like, Celtic fans obviously want Celtic to win the league. Like, that's and that's totally fine.
But if I'm ever going to Parkhead, I'd love Celtic to win it.
Right, there we go. You can leave your comments in the YouTube comment section if you wish. Let's move on. So we get the game on Saturday, John, the Falkirk game.
I was indeed.
So it was Falkirk 1, Hibs 3. And obviously this was sort of the last chance saloon for Falkirk,
yep,
trying to get in Europe, because you can only get into Europe through the league now, because obviously you got beat in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup, so you don't have a chance to win the cup and get into Europe that way.
Yep.
Hibs, far better than you? Yes?
Yeah, no, it was a really strange game of football, I have to say. Defending was shocking from Falkirk. Hibs didn't have many chances, but, and we, like, obviously, we kind of had a lot of the possession, but didn't do much
with it.
You
get pumped, John.
We won the second half.
We won the second half. Brilliant. Brogio, just very quickly, is he on loan? Is he signed?
Yep.
Where's he from?
Ben Brogio's from Aston Villa. We kind of got him via kind of John McGinn, and obviously
getting rave reviews.
Very good. Good footballer.
Did he play in the semi-final?
He did. He was useless in the semi-final.
I don't recall him at all.
But he's got a bright future ahead of him in the
good
game.
For him. Good for him, John.
Hopefully we can keep him next season.
Right, bottom six then. What a win for Kilmarnock. 3-0, as I mentioned earlier on. Curtis grabbing a couple of goals and assist as well, at least one. And St Mirren, Luke knackered.
Trouble.
Did you see McLeish's interview after the game?
Yeah, trouble. Trouble. Everything's going against him. Trouble.
They can't score.
No, and I'll tell you what.
Partick Thistle and Dunfermline will be fancying their chances.
All day. I think St Mirren are in trouble. I'm worried about them.
So, I mean, in terms of looking at the table, they're 4 points adrift at this moment in time, and they've got the two, on paper, hardest games. They've got Aberdeen and Dundee United, so...
They're in the playoffs.
You think they're in the playoffs?
100%.
And by the way, Neil McCann, Billy Dodds and all the rest of it, great job at Kilmarnock, because they looked knackered
for
a lot of the season as well. Cracking win on Saturday, and they're pretty much safe for another season in the top flight, which would have been the remit, I would imagine, for Neil McCann. Just keep them up. Elsewhere, it was Aberdeen 2, Dundee United 0, so obviously that confirms Aberdeen. They're totally fine. And Stephen Robinson has already said there's going to be a big clear out in the summer, although he's wanting to keep Graham Shinney.
Loves
Graham Shinney.
Best captain he's ever had.
Apparently so. Dundee United, they're just sort of getting to
just want the season.
They want the season to finish on the beach. Aberdeen want to get the summer as well. Dundee, cracking win for them, 3-0 at home to Livingston, and that means Dundee are safe again. I think on this podcast we were saying Stephen Presley wouldn't see Halloween, and he's kept them up. With a bit to spare.
Yeah,
brilliant. Good job.
Yeah.
Well done, him. Right, okay. In terms of this week, as I mentioned, it's Aberdeen. They're at home at St Mirren. Dundee United, Livingston, Killy versus Dundee. Not as big a game as you would have thought. Both teams pretty much safe now. However, St Mirren can still drag themselves back in it on Wednesday, as we mentioned. Hearts, Falkirk, Motherwell, Celtic, and Rangers versus Hibs. Premiership playoffs. It was a thriller on Friday night between Arbroath and Dunfermline.
But you got there.
Got there, aye. I did say, I was talking to the boys on Friday at Super Scoreboard, Scott Allen was asking me about it, and I was like, I think it'll be a draw tonight and we'll get through. I thought there might have been goals. Arbroath have had a cracking season. Aaron Muirhead missing a penalty in the last 10 minutes. Brilliant save from Oxborough again after he gave it away, although it was Robbie Fraser's fault. And now it's Dunfermline versus Partick Thistle. And I believe you've been in at Partick Thistle, giving you words of wisdom.
I was in, inspiring the lads.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, Partick Thistle are favourites.
I fancy Partick because of their home record.
Mm-hmm.
I think first game's at
East End.
Yeah, I tell you what, it'll be a great game. Great game.
£12 to get in, by the way, Thistle fans. £12 to get in at East End.
I might go to the... Is it Friday night?
Friday night.
I might go along there. I was in Mark and Alec, good spirits. Big Rob, the physio, he's different class, brilliant. I just got a wee sneaky that the Partick boys might just edge up.
Okay, well, you've said that Hibs and Aberdeen and Falkirk were all going to win, so hopefully your trend continues against Dunfermline Tuesday, Friday for that. Looking forward to it. Should be good. Good to get through against Arbroath. It was, it was stuffy. Elsewhere, Alloa put Airdrie out by 3-1. So Airdrie will be playing League One football next season. They are relegated. A disaster for Airdrie. So 2-1, as I mentioned earlier on. Stenny will play Alloa for a place in the Championship next season. 2-2 finished on the day. 3-3 on aggregate. Went to a penalty shootout. And Nicky Clark and Reece Lyons missing for the visitors. So that means Stenny play Alloa on Wednesday. The first leg is second leg. I think it's on Sunday, isn't it, John? Elsewhere, Hamilton got through 5-2 on aggregate against Forfar, winning 2-1. And they will play Clyde, who beat Spartans. It's always the way, isn't it? You know, they were so close right to the end. Spartans ended up finishing second, and that's them pumped out the playoffs. So Clyde Hamilton, as we mentioned, that is that. And it was 1-1 between Brora and Edinburgh City, so obviously that gives them a wee chance of retaining their SPFL status with a draw in the Highlands. Return leg in the capital at Meadowbank this coming Saturday. Let's get to VAR WTF, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, Aberdeen, Dundee United, Duncan Nicholson, so bad. Sending off. Was it a sending off?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. Ivan Dolcek, penalty shout?
No.
Nope, not for that.
No.
Dundee Livingston, Ethan Hamilton fouling on Lewis Smith for the penalty. Any complaints?
No, because I looked at the lad, he didn't even complain.
Nothing doing, Falkirk Hibs, same goes St Mirren Kilmarnock. Motherwell Hearts, we've already sort of gone over.
Penalty kick.
A stonewall penalty. Can't believe Steve McLean didn't give it. There was also a couple of handballs in there as well. There was one on
Longello.
Yeah, exactly.
Nah, come on, that's not a penalty.
Seen them given?
Nah, no.
What, come on. There was also one, was it Kent for Hearts as well? Yeah. Was it Kent?
No, I think the big debate was the...
Has to be, and they got it wrong. Celtic Rangers, right, yesterday, there was lots of chat on Super Scoreboard yesterday about Yang's goal and the offside. There was obviously two Celtic players in front of Butland. Now, Willie Collum has given his say, and he said it was right to be given. It was hard to overturn it. I think had it not been for the fact that... I mean, Jack Butland was getting absolutely nowhere near that ball. It wouldn't have mattered anyway. Mm. Do you think that's why they gave it?
No.
Because obviously it was... No. They were standing in front of the keeper.
Yeah, but when you see it from an angle, and we all agreed in the studio, when you see it from an angle, as he's about to hit the ball, Butland can still see the ball, right? You're right, he's never getting there, but you can still see the ball.
Yeah.
And that's why... It would have been a harder case to argue why you would disqualify that.
Okay.
Right? That's the situation here. So for me personally, I think that was the right decision. I really do.
Alistair Johnson.
Lucky man. I said between a dark yellow and a light red.
Okay.
Right, card. Look, put it this way. If he's getting sent off for that, I'm not sitting complaining about that.
It's a red card.
Yeah, he's. I don't know if the referee has thought that because he gets the ball first, it slows the momentum down, right? Because it's all about
catches them though.
But it's all about force.
Yeah,
it's all about
force. We've seen so many challenges.
Yeah,
not even as bad as that this season.
Right,
resulting in red cards.
Yeah, but the referee must have looked at that and thought there was not enough excessive force to give him the red. Look, I think this is going to split the room as well, because a lot of people is in your camp, straight red, but and because of the way it's going about, and then other people look and say, well, was it the fact that he got the ball first that slowed that momentum and the force down?
Here's another thing. Is it the fact that it happened in a Celtic Rangers game, the fact it was only a yellow card?
You'd need to ask Nick Walsh, I don't know.
Because I think there was challenges yesterday, and I think, I can't remember who it was, but it was a Celtic player. They pulled a Rangers player, but like blatant shirt pull, which is, it's a yellow card every day of the week.
Yeah.
Got a talking to and that was it.
Yeah.
And I think they referee Celtic Rangers games differently. There's a lower standard for cards and red cards. Absolutely.
Yeah, look, I think because of the pressure of the game yesterday, there was a couple of decisions that you can disagree and argue with. I don't think the referee had the worst game I've ever seen for a Celtic Rangers game.
Lots of bookings. Yeah, eventually.
But do we, listen, I like that. I like the fact that not every tackle's a booking. I think we need to get away from this. It's killing the game. It's a contact sport.
I would totally agree with you. Right. If they apply it to other matches as well.
Right, okay. Maybe that's an argument for another day. But what I'm saying is I like a game to flow. Me personally, I love the game. I think a referee's first and foremost duty is to try and keep 11v11 on the pitch as long as he possibly can, right? There's circumstances where
I agree, but it needs to apply to every game then. That needs to be an edict like it goes out for next season then. I would absolutely agree with you. Right, that's it in terms of refereeing decisions. You're listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Let's get on to some Who Dares Wins, shall we? So, Daz, it's you to bid first this week. Okay. What is the topic, John?
The topic this week is based on the old firm. Since 1990, seven players have scored seven goals or more in that fixture. How many can you name?
19 what?
Since 1990, seven players have scored seven goals or more in the old firm fixture. How many can you name?
Whoa, I could probably go five.
Six.
Since 1990. Six. I'd need to go the full seven. I'm not getting the full seven.
Right,
you know?
Okay. Stephen Mill, you've got seven to get.
You comfy?
No. Henrik Larsson.
Henrik Larsson, of course, is one top with 15.
Right.
I think you've shot your bolt here. Are
you struggling? Five more to get, Stephen.
87.
Right. Who scores lots of goals in old fun games? It's a good route to go down.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's just like the question.
Will we go Moussa Dembele?
Moussa Dembele.
Brilliant.
You got seven.
Will we go Kyogo?
Oh, beautiful.
Eight. For Kyogo.
You know, good. You ain't got a Rangers one yet?
No. Since 1990?
Yep.
See, this is not an answer. I would, the obvious answer would be McCoist, but I don't know if his more of his goals came before that, but I'll go Ali McCoist.
Ali McCoist?
Yep.
Correct. Eight goals.
There's an obvious one.
You're just saying that.
No, I'm not.
I think there is an obvious one, Daz. Yep.
Yeah.
What, Rangers? Right.
Two more.
Oh, God, I can't even think, man.
Go ahead, hold up and think.
Kenny Miller?
Brilliant shout.
Yeah, 11. And obviously one of those are Celtic.
Yeah.
Brilliant shout. He's what, Kenny Miller's.
Was that the obvious
five.
One?
That's the obvious one, I would say, yeah.
Right, okay. So I've got two to get.
Two to get.
I'm struggling now. Mega struggling. Because, like, Boyd didn't score against Celtic, really. Morelos didn't really score against Celtic.
No.
Oh, God. I've got no idea. I'm struggling.
Come out with my name.
I'll go for Odson Edward.
Odson Edward. This is for the six.
I don't think he was.
Is Odson Edward on the list? He is. He got seven in the first place. I can't believe
it.
If you can pull out the final name, I'll be very, very impressed. Daz, you want to give it a go?
I would either say, is it Celtic or Rangers?
Aye. Rangers.
Novo.
Novo, no.
Lovenkranz?
No.
I was going to say Lovenkranz, yeah.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. But he scored, if you go back,
Give us a time range.
Mid-90s.
Jury?
Mid-90s, nah.
Gas?
Wasn't a striker either.
Midfield player?
Midfielder.
Oh. Mid-90s midfielder for Rangers?
Yep.
Like midfielder or a winger?
Loved to go against Celtic. Midfielder, central midfielder. Really. Played in the left a bit. Played at left back a bit.
Oh, I'm struggling. Come on, Daz. Come on, Daz. We'll know this. between us? Centre
George
Alberts.
Charles Alberts, yeah.
I genuinely was going to say George Alberts. Right, come on. Okay, question time with Daz then. What's Daz's worst Premiership team of the year?
That, I love this question.
Team, full team.
You might need a bit of time on this. Maybe we have to give
so this has come for Simon McQueenie. You've got homework for next week. Right. You need to give us the worst
team.
The worst team. I'll
let's get some suggestions.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got to put about four Dundee United goalies in there.
The boy that started and threw the ones up against Falkirk, he's got to be in the goals.
Yeah, right. We'll do that next week.
Right, okay. Let's get on with our shootout quiz then, shall we? Let's go.
What's your score in the quiz,
John? It's 2019 to me and Gabs. Because Gabs won last week.
Yeah.
So well done, Gabs.
He was good last week.
Yeah. He was good.
Right, okay, you know the script by now. Five questions, same questions, top bin worth double, all that stuff. Are we ready, producer John?
We are certainly.
You've been less sweaty this week, I must say.
Thanks. You know, it's getting to the end of the season. So, you know.
Exactly. How many have we got to go, actually? Because we'll have next week.
I think we'll go all the way up to the World Cup. I think we'll just go all the way up to the World Cup. Okay. I would say, yeah. When do you leave to go to the World Cup, Stephen?
10th.
10th, aye. So, we'll do that week as well. There you go.
Okay, doke. Right,
right, let's go then. Question number one. How many Scottish Premiership sides have had the same manager all season? How many Scottish Premiership sides have had the same managers all season? Yeah.
All season? Yeah. Right, okay. Who's done the... I've got a number.
You've got a number, Stephen?
No.
Come on, write a number down. Oh, it's quite easy.
There's 12 teams in the league, Stephen.
Yeah.
How many?
You're missing one.
Manager all season. Right, time's up.
Six.
Daz, what you went for?
Six as well, mate.
That's right. Hearts, Motherwell, Hibs, Falkirk, Dundee United, and Dundee. Well done.
Yep.
Next question. What team did Celtic sign Daizen Maeda from? What team did Celtic sign Daizen Maeda from?
Oh, you've got that, haven't you, mate? That's easy.
Do you think that'll be him at Celtic now, Daz?
Yeah, he's
done.
Yeah, I think they'll maybe look to move him on. But I tell you what, he's hit for him at a right good time, isn't he? He's starting to look that player again. If you can just keep him away for the 1v1s, he's fucking shit at that. Get the overhead kicks going.
He's so bad when he's throwing goal.
Terrible,
right?
Right, come on.
Right, Stephen, you've got an answer.
Is it like Kawashima Antlers or something like that?
Kawashima Antlers. Funnily enough, no, it's not. That's what you got.
I've got Yokohama Mariners.
Yokohama.
Yeah, that's the one. Yokohama.
Was that where did he play with Angie's team?
Aye. I think it was,
did he?
Yeah.
Is it, there's definitely a
team in Kawashima Antlers.
I'm sure there's a team in Japan who are the Antlers.
The Kawashima Antlers. I will have to check.
Wait there, I'll do it now.
Oh, come on.
Kawashima Antlers.
Right, ask the question while he's doing it.
Kashima, Kashima Antlers. They played Yokohama yesterday. So get it up, you. It was 1-1.
Right, come on.
Three.
Right, okay. Right, next question. Here we go. Is it Say What You See?
Oh no, I fucking hate these.
Here we go. Right, so I am going to stick up.
You always say you hate these and then you get them. I've never got one of these yet.
It's no hard one yet.
So get one yet.
If you're watching the YouTube version, you'll see on Stephen and Daz's screen in a minute, Say What You See, it's a certain amount of pictures, and you've just got to guess the player based on the pictures. Are you ready for your Say What You See?
Yes.
Right, okay, here we go.
That's Corey.
On the screen right now, there is a man and there is a woman. That man and the woman make up.
See, if I've got this, I will be over the moon. I don't know who he is, right?
He's the guy for the American Office, and I've never seen the American Office, so I don't
know. Right, okay, yeah, you're correct.
I'm only going with her.
Right, Okay, unveil your answers,
there
gentlemen.
You got
David Platt.
I see what you've done there. Right, so on the screen, for those listening to the podcast, there is a picture of someone from The Office, and that person is called Dwight.
Oh, Dwight
Gale. Also,
Dwight Gale.
Yeah, Gale Platt. So, yeah, that is, by the way, not a bad effort. Not a bad effort.
Mate, I have no idea who he is.
I was between David Platt or Marcus Gale. So I would have been...
Oh, no, never get that.
Oh, no, get it. That's the wrong one you put up there, John.
What's happened there?
Who the fuck's that in the right? Hold on. Who's that in the right?
That's somebody that's about...
Is that the right one?
No, that's not the right one, John.
Why is the wrong one?
See, this is what I said. Okay. I said, you've not been sweaty this week, and now you're sweating all over it.
Right, so what's the score? 2-1, Dazzler?
Aye, still 2-1 to you. Question number four.
Right, question number four. Who won last year's championship playoff?
Can you confirm
this
that's
is
going
from League One
up to the
championship?
Right,
because
okay.
The Premiership playoff is what Dunfermline and Thistle will be involved in.
You got it, mate. Who won last year's championship?
No, I don't.
Who's in the league?
Who's in the league?
Okay. Now I'm wrong, because they were already in the league.
Well, that's a silly answer then.
Yeah. I went Arbroath, John.
They won the league, did they not?
They
won the league.
Right,
they
okay.
Won it. I just went...
I think it's Airdrie.
Oh. Airdrie.
Aye, I think they stayed up.
Correct.
You dick.
So that
what's
is
the score?
2-2. There we go.
I'm going to go. I want to go top. Is top been hard?
No, it should be.
No, hold on. Many questions are left.
Just one.
So we could both do normal here
or both go top bin.
I'll go. Come on, we'll go top bin.
Well, we both go top bin.
Yeah.
Let's both go top bin.
You're both shaking on top bin.
We're shaking on top bin.
Right, okay.
Right, Daz, you go first.
Daz, your top bin question. It's another one about your fellow pundits. So, Marvin Bartley back on Super Scoreboard on Tuesday, though he has just messaged me saying, can I swap my days? So I'll have to sort that out.
Oh, no.
But we'll get the tell-all on what happened at Livingston. Anyway, what town is Marvin Bartley born in? Or where's he from? There you go. That's your top end question. Where is Marvin Bartley from?
Well, I think I've got a fair whack at this. Do you know why? Because I remember the podcasts that we done.
Uh-huh.
And I remember him talking about growing up and his football, because he didn't want to play football and all that.
He didn't, did he? No,
I remember.
He was in the prison service. He's good.
Yeah, he was. I'm telling you.
Right.
See if I produce this.
What have you got on for?
I'm going to go Reading.
Reading. It's where he started his youth career, well done.
Mate, I only got that because I'd done 6 podcasts with him and we'd done our childhood. Growing up, you're under pressure. No. Your arse is falling.
Right, Stephen, your top bin question.
Mm-hmm. Well done, Big Mark.
A Dunfermline High art teacher designed the current Dunfermline badge. Mm-hmm. What was his name?
Oh, you got that, mate?
I don't know.
That's hard.
That's all right, it's a top bin question.
Ah, that's hard, John.
Got to know your history of your football team, Stephen.
That's a joke question.
What do you mean that's hard. A joke question?
It is a joke question.
The information is readily available. If you knew the history of your football team.
I've been shafted there, haven't I?
Have you been shafted there?
Daz, come on, I've been shafted there, eh? I've been shafted.
I mean, I've asked Daz.
Mate, I totally agree, I would have been off my head with that. You're not got it, have you?
No, of course I don't. Fucking Mr. Wilson.
Have you not heard of Colin Dimmock?
No.
Well, there you go. You've learnt something about your
well
club.
Well done,
today.
John. A wee victory.
Well done, Daz. You win.
You know what I learnt
about
my club?
Come on, you should
club,
know Colin Dunnett.
That,
oh,
that yeah, we're right, going to be in the Scottish Cup final, yeah, John. Well, so get it up.
Yeah, yeah. Round this up.
So if you want
to... Colin Dimmick will be there. He was in the 50s. He designed the
badge. I think Colin Dimmick will be dead. Right, I think okay, that's probably... Cool. But shout out to Colin Dimmick's family.
Shout out to Colin Dimmick.
It's a unique badge. Do you know what's in the... appears in the badge, John?
It's the tower of the...
Canmore Tower.
Was that in the middle of Pittencreef Park?
Well, it's not in the middle, but it's in
Pittencreef Park.
Yeah, exactly. Pittencreef Park, which was...
She just had a shithole.
Which was bought by Andrew Carnegie, one of the richest men of all time.
Boys, I couldn't give a shit. It's going to round up the podcast.
Donated it back to the city.
It's fascinating tale. You know, Colin Dimmick designed the bag.
Well done, Colin.
Well done, Colin.
Fly high. Right, okay. We'll be back next week with another Big Scottish Football podcast. And, make sure you've got Clyde One Super Scoreboard on this week. This time next week, we'll know where the title will be. It'll either be at Parkhead or it'll be at Tynecastle. We will find out over the course of the next few days. And remember, all the coverage will be on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, a massive Wednesday night show. And of course, all the action on Saturday as well, as it looks like we are going to have a title showdown at Celtic Park between Celtic and Hearts. So don't go anywhere. Daz will be back Tuesday, Thursday, as per usual. Enjoy your week, Daz.
Thank you.
Enjoy your week, Sway Octopus. We'll speak to you next week. And this has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Cheery bye for now, as Daz is about to walk in front of the camera. Go for it.
To do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.